The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
Well, good morning again. Jerry said something very well as he introduced and spoke how I'm going to set the tone for the studies to come. And this tone's not going to be a nice tone today. It's going to be very convicting. But that's what God's Word says, and we need to follow what God's Word says. Amen? Alrighty then. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 6. That's where I'll be reading out of this morning. I read out of a New King James. We all have probably different translations. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 6. Reads like this. If I'm in the right chapter. Here we go. It says this. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I repeated myself. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. Well, there it is right there. Pretty plain, huh? We're going to talk about gifts. And I guess today's title would be the G for gifts. But this is an important subject for the church. Very important for all of us to understand, learn, and know, and believe. And we need to stand on what God's Word says as well. This message is for believers that are here this morning. If you are a follower of Christ, this is for you this morning. You came at a divine time. I prayed all week that God would bring the people that this message should be spoken to. So those that didn't make it, I'm not saying it wasn't for them, but God wants to speak to us this morning, and I'm going to just speak around all these verses here this morning. And I call this message the do's and the don'ts. The do's and the don'ts. There's a story of a young boy that grows up and his dad's blind. And all of his life, this boy was gifted as a basketball player. And he was very good at what he did. And his dad never missed a game. Always there. But his father was blind. And this kid kept escalating through high school, made it to college, just squeezed by to college. Very gifted. But at every game, he didn't give it all the effort. He really didn't try. When the coach would put him in, he kind of just squeezed by some points. But the coach knew he was better. But he just wouldn't put out. He would not put out. A lot of games, he just sat at the bench and warmed it up. Kept the bench warm once in a while. But he had a gift. And dad was there cheering away. Couldn't see him. But dad was there. So his dad dies one day. And the following day, his college had the biggest game of their life. They were at the finals, the state. They had to win this championship. But his dad died the day before. The coach asked him, are you coming out tomorrow? He says, yeah, I'll be there. Are you sure you want to come out? Yeah, I'll be there. So the guy shows up, plays his heart out, wipes them out, scores hellacious points, dunks, and he just scores all the points that day. Played his heart out, used all his gift. At the end of the game, headed home, coach goes, my gosh, son, what got into you? Well, it's like this, coach. My dad has been watching me for coming to my games for years, but he couldn't see. But see, we're Christians, and we believe in Jesus, and he's in heaven, and he saw me play. Amen? See, it was the right time, and God's watching. And like Jerry said this morning, we all do have a gift, and God wants you to use it. You all have some kind of gift. You really do. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for this morning. I pray, God, that this message would speak to all of us, Lord. We pray your Holy Spirit would move and just do mighty works, God, for this church, this body of believers here at this time, here at Remnant Church in Imperial. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. We thank you that you forgive us our sins, God. And daily as we just walk in this world, God, we want to serve you and we want to trust you and we just want to cling to you, Father God. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would just have its way this morning. Thank you for the gifts you have embedded in us from the beginning of time, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we see that the word gift is very predominant here. It sticks out. Spiritual gift. The word spiritual gift in the Greek is translated charisma. That's what it's, the root comes from, charisma. Spiritual gifts. It's a gift, a grace given gift by God. Or favor. It means grace or favor tied to the word charisma. So you guys all have charisma. We've heard that before, right? Yeah, you have great charisma. Well, it's a grace-given gift from God to you and to me. It's a favor you have in your life that God wants you to flourish and you need to use. So I'll go right to my first point if I have it up there. The next screen, if it's there. See, the Holy Spirit has given everyone gifts to be used in the church. And there's the first verse. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that wants to use you with the gift that's in you. That is the first point. There is a gift in you. And a lot of us say we probably don't, but you really do. You just haven't found it yet. And probably because you haven't got into a ministry. Try several. Shop around, as you would say, for the Lord. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. This teaching on spiritual gifts has brought many controversies and split-ups all these years in churches. And it's a sad thing because this gift was God-given by grace to the churches to be used. But it's even brought split-ups, denominations. Did you know back in Scripture there weren't churches, there were just synagogues? There wasn't titles or names of churches, denominations. It was just followers of the way. You were either a Christian or you were just following something else. You see? So if you're a Christian here tonight, this morning, forgive me, the sun's out. Had a long night. You should be following Christ and serving at some capacity. And it's sad that the churches have split up because of this subject. So what has happened to the church body today with the spiritual gift? We're missing the mark. We're far off where God wants us to be. He's brought me a long way in ministry, a long way. What could the church possibly look like today? Do we have a video? Did we get that clip in? This is what I believe it could possibly look like in a lot of churches, not just here.
We are the pirates who don't do anything. We just stay at home and lie around. And if you ask us to do anything, we'll just tell you, we don't do anything.
Well, I've never been to Greenland, and I've never been to Denver, and I've never buried treasure in St. Louis or St. Paul, and I've never been to Moscow, and I've never been to Tampa, and I've never been to Boston in the fall.
But we're the pirates who don't do anything. We just stay home and lie around.
We don't do anything. And I never hoist the mainstay, and I never swab the poop deck, and I never veer to starboard, cause I never sail at all. And I've never walked the gangplank, and I've never owned a parrot, and I've never been to Boston in the fall.
Cause we're the pirates who don't do anything. We just stay home and lie around. And if you ask us to do anything, we'll just tell you, we don't do anything.
You know, I've been in several churches. I've ministered and been part of small churches and big churches. I've been around for a while. I just drum more, I think. I like music, but I like sharing God's word. But it's in all churches. This message is just not for you guys. It's for all the churches around the world. It's just sad because statistics show that out of 100 people in a church, if it's a big congregation, 10 of them are doing all the work. So out of those 10 people, each person's doing 10 things more than they should. It's 100% to 10. That's what it comes down to. Only 10% are carrying the load, you see? And that's why God has you here. He wants you to get involved. You have a gift. And the next step after that is once you find your place, you need to draw other people from your family, from your friends, from your work environment as well. And that's when the body starts working together. And your gift starts flourishing because it's flowing to others after that. And you're doing what God has called you to do. But the church has just veered off. We're just kicking it, so to speak. We're just cruising along. And a lot of people that I've spoken with personally just flat out say, you know, no, Frank, no thanks, but no thanks. I'm okay, I'm cool. You do your ministry stuff, I'm okay over here. I'm good. I don't need to do that ministry thing. That person is really telling God, you know what, I don't need your help. I got this. I don't need to serve. I'm just going to come serve in my seat Sunday morning and I'm gone. I'm telling you, this is a tough message. It was tough for me. And I'll repeat myself. I can say this because God has brought me from a long way. He has taught me about servanthood. I work at a church and I serve here as well. There's a story, I didn't put it in here, in the Old Testament, a man called Obed-Edom. This guy just wanted to be where God's presence was. And guess what, guys? God's presence is here. He's here also. So you should be hungering what God wants you to do. Or serve at whatever capacity you can. Because there is a gift in you. All of you and all of us. And we're missing the mark. We're missing the mark. I believe in the churches today, as I call this message, there's only two groups of people. For the followers of Christ. I'm talking about Christians. There's the do's and the other group called the don'ts. See, the do's are those that do Christ's work, that are here out of the passion of what Christ has done in their lives. Trust me, I was the last person to be up here speaking, becoming a speaker of God's word, even let alone holding a Bible in my hand 10 years ago. I'm an ex-drug addict, an ex-con, you name it. God has delivered me, and He showed me where I should be doing. He showed me in these years what I should be serving at. And flourishing the gift, and you guys have that too. He'll bring you a long way, and it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it, trust me. But I've seen it in all these churches. And I don't want to step on no one's toes this morning, but if you're having an issue with what I'm saying, take it up with God. I argue with Him a lot. I do. But guess who has the last word? He does. You just got to do it. Just got to do it. There's a lot of times I don't want to do stuff. Ministry. But you do it anyway. And watch what God can do. Because the don't just really don't care if the church even grows. There's no involvement in that group of people. Let's not be of the group of the don'ts. It's not a good place to be. It really isn't. Because Jesus will tell us in the next verse I put up in Luke 13. Look what it says. It says, He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. 3 years God came to check this tree. He's rattling some trees this morning in people's lives. And again, not just in this church, in every church. He wants you to flourish that gift. Cut it down, he says. Why does it take up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it, and it bears fruit well. But if not, after that you can cut it down. See, the owner of that land is God, and the farmer is Jesus, and He wants to work in your life. He wants you to flourish that gift. And some of you, I don't know how long you've been coming to Remnant, but you've probably been here some years now, and there's just no fruit. It's not a good place to be. This is straight from God. This is God's word. And He's speaking to us today. Come on, get involved. Did you know God's love woos you? His spirit woos you. That means He's always in love with you. He's always after you. You can read Genesis to Revelations, events after events. God's always after His people. And we kept turning, and Israel kept turning to other things. Kicking it, being lazy, just chilling. Did you know that the people, when they were in the desert, they got a little bit of bread from heaven when they were hungry? God fed them. You know why He only gave them flakes instead of dropping down loaves? Or birotes, as those Mexicans say? Because those are good. I had to throw that in. I'm sorry. I love those big, oh, man, the tortas. They take all the bread out. They put meat. I'm sorry. I'm going to the wrong subject. I'm hungry. I'm looking at the donuts back there. I'm sorry. Anyways, you know why he only dropped a little bit at a time, man? Eh? Because if he dropped loaves down, this is what would happen. They would have so much bread, they would stop right there and forget about God and just start chowing down. Barbecue time, baby. Let's party. They would just sit there and do nothing. So he pushed them. He edged them where they needed to be. Is God edging you this morning? He's wooing you. He's speaking to your heart right now. And some of us are probably blocking. It's okay. You can block all you want. I tried. Doesn't work. It'll hit you this week sometime. It might hit you at the Holy Grounds. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to you at one point or another. No matter how much you try to block. You see, God wants to use you. And God's people are just turning away. Turning away. The Holy Spirit has given everyone gifts to be used in the church. He wants to use you here, church. Every church has its functions, and this one does too. This church should be jumping and flourishing. We should be needing more chairs, bigger building, bigger school, maybe a gym. I'm thinking about Southwest, guys. Jerry, Jeremiah, we have to move over there one day. Tell them, hey, we're moving in. Sunday, it's ours. You need to believe that. But it's not going to happen if your tree's not getting shaken by God. It's not going to happen if your tree's not giving fruits. You've got to be giving fruits to God. You need to be growing. So what happened? Do I have my second point there? You can serve in some kind of ministry because you have been gifted already by God. Check this out. Did you know from the beginning of time when God created everything, it was perfect? It was a perfect place, paradise. The weather, the animals. Did you know? The animals, all of them, they didn't kill. They were eating just shrubs and weeds. There was no bloodshed. There was no killing yet. It was perfect. They didn't even need clothes. Adam and Eve didn't have clothes. Can you picture us walking around with no clothes? Ooh, you don't want to see me there. That was a perfect place. God had it perfectly laid out. Perfectly laid out. But what happened? What happened? What happened? Let's see our next slide. Let's go to the next slide. I don't know where I'm going here. Keep going. That's what happened. Sin came in. Sin came in. And if you look at those three letters, which letter's in the middle? Ooh. I. Ay, ay, ay. See, guys, you can say, you know what, Frank? Well, you're right, but Romans 3:23 says we're all sinners. Yeah, but doesn't mean you need to keep sinning. Doesn't mean you need to serve. Yeah, we're all sinners, but we're repented sinners. Loved by God's grace. Now he wants you to flourish that gift. And I get really zealous on this subject. And I boast in Christ. See, I work at a church elsewhere, but I love being here worshiping with this body too. Because there's something here, guys. I got up at 4 this morning just to pray for this morning. And the Spirit was just shaking my stomach up. I was literally shaking. And God would tell you, tell them I love them, Frank. I want to use them. Frank, remind them that they have a gift. I can use them. He even said this to me in the Spirit as I prayed. Tell them if they think they can't be used, I can use them. Some of you here today probably think you can't be used. Or you're not talented enough or gifted enough. Well, guess what? It's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit that wants to do it through you. You've already been gifted. You need to use that gift. When God created everything and it was perfect, then sin came in, then that's when the bloodshed came in. Animals started to eat other animals. God had to sacrifice an animal, shed blood. And you know what? What happens? Influence. Influence is a powerful, powerful realm. And I say this because I used to have a little puppy. Back in my younger days, beautiful little German Shepherd, he's growing up. I lived in the outskirts of Brawley, and my surroundings were tractor yards, okay? And this is the dog I'm talking about, okay? We know what dogs can do. And as he was growing up, I would go to work, and he'd be out there playing around the yard, around these vacant lots, while around my house was a bunch of cats all the time. And as my puppy was growing up, He was about almost a year, and I'm pulling up from work one day, and he's doing number two over there in the corner of the yard. But as I'm pulling up, and he's starting to do the restroom, he digs a hole, looks around, goes, then covers it. Who does that? Cats. Dogs don't do that. I was like, what's wrong with my dog? The environment, the influence. He saw these cats doing this act. So that's how he'd go to the restroom, like a cat. I was like, wow. Influence is powerful. See, there's things that could influence Christians not to want to serve and just come do this, the service, hear the pastor, and go. No, there's more in you. There's that gift or gift. Some of us have more gifts than others. Some of us have two or three. I guarantee you that all of you here today, I know you have two at least. But you got to find out. How are you going to find out? Getting involved. Get involved in ministry. Get plugged in. Influence could do strange things to animals, but people too. People can be influenced, especially God's people. Because you know what? We have an enemy, and his name is Satan. And he wants to devour you. He wants to hinder you. He wants to put things that look good to you, but they're not. He wants to use you too, guess what? Because I was used by him in the world for 20 years. I played in bars, recorded. I've done everything out there that the world does. But God has delivered me. And he's delivered you. Why not serve him? He wants to use you. He wants to use you. But see, when this is in your life, if there's sin in your life and you're still playing in the mud a little bit and you want to serve in ministry, it's a little difficult. It's going to be a little difficult. You're going to have problems. You're going to have issues. And most of all, God's going to reveal it sooner or later. See, I don't get up here to do this just because I want to be seen or heard. I want to make sure my heart's right before God before I even start to study a message. Or when I start to play music for God. My heart has to be in tune with God. Because things are going to happen. You're going to hit a bumpy road. And you know what's the saddest thing? There are Christians that are leaders and they're serving, but they're still living in sin. They're doing the things the world's doing when we shouldn't. You're a new creation. There's a gift in there God gave you to use for the church. See, I could very easily go make money on weekends and play in bars with bands, guys that have called me friends. Come on, dude, we'll make 200. You'll make 200 bucks in an hour. Very tempting. 200 bucks in an hour? Wow. 10 songs, dude, and you're out of there. You don't even have to drink beer. They've told me this. I get these kind of calls at times, randomly. A lot of times when I'm going to preach a message. The devil's a liar, man. It was tempting, but I would say no. No, thank you. I love worshiping for free because someone paid my price to serve him. I've been paid for fully by Christ. And you all have a gift. You all have charisma. Would you use it for the Lord? Or would you just let it sit there? There's a gift in you, and God wants you to use it. In all of God's creations, this is what I put, humans are the only ones that most of the time don't listen to what God tells them to do. The animals know their role. The sun. Did you know God spoke to the sun and said, you're going to come up in the east, go down in the west? He told the ocean where to stop. God did all that. And now he's speaking to you this morning, telling you, my friend, my child, my daughter, my son, there's a gift in you. Would you use it for me? I've put you in this perfect place to live in. Life ain't going to be perfect, and it ain't going to be fair, and it's not going to be easy, especially if you're following Christ. But if God's got your back, what should worry you? See, my wife's fighting cancer. And that hasn't stopped us. She encourages me. My daughters encourage me at times. Me and my family have started ministry years ago. My girls were little. They always helped. They are always next to me, helping me. My wife and my two daughters were always there in all the ministries I did. And they encouraged me. They had no idea, but they were encouraging me. Because they were there every time I was doing service. They were there. My loved ones were there. So now this cancer thing comes. It was very challenging for my first 2 weeks. I was actually mad at God. I didn't even show up to work for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, my boss calls me, hey, Frank, where are you? Oops. I told him the truth. I'm mad at God. I'm right here by my wife. I'm taking care of her. She could barely move right now. She got a big operation on her chest, and I'm taking care of her. You know what he said? That's fine. Take a year. I'll still pay your salary. Take care of her. A year. A year a man paid my salary, a Christian man, to take care of my wife. But it wasn't that easy. I didn't get away that cool. I hung up with him, knelt down. She asked me who it was. I told her the whole scenario. And she looks at me and she goes, but shouldn't you be at work? Oh, man. God has a sense of humor. And when she said that, I just heard God's voice. Son, you need to get back on the horse. You need to get back on it. I was done with preaching. I didn't want to play music. I didn't want nothing with ministry those first 2 weeks. But through my wife's voice, laying in that bed, God spoke. We got to be listening, my friends. And a lot of you have been hearing it. You've just been turning the other way, looking the other way. Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah, you did. You know who you can serve. You know who you're gifted. You got a gift. Use it. Use it. Let's go to our third point. What's next right there, Jerry? The activities in the church were created for unity. They were created for unity because it's right in verse 6. Look what it says in verse 6 of the same scripture we're reading out of. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God. You see this word activities? If there's an activity going on, there's a lot of people working together, right? Working with each other. See, God wants you to be working with each other as a body, and that's how you're going to find out where your gifts are in serving the church. Activities is a key word in there. And the Bible says where there's two or three, who's in the midst? Christ. You need to work as a body. We need to work together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I challenge you, go read it tonight, all of it. It's all in there. If there's more in there, you'll find out about gifts. It's all in there. It's all in there. Did I put up verses 4 through 6 next? Okay, don't, okay, that's fine. If you read 4 through 6, it says this repeatedly through each verse. It says the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God, after gifts. So it's God. It's God the whole way that wants to use your gift. He wants you to use your gift. See, we're a body that was knitted together by God to work together in the church. It says, did I put verse 12 up there? 12:12. Look what it says in 12:12. As the body is one and has had many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. See, we're all one. You guys are all one. You all have a gift that you can use for the church. Raise your hand if you're right-handed. All right-handed people, raise your hand. Wow, there's a lot of you. Okay, put them down. Left-handed people. Wow. Okay, a few. You do a lot with your lead hand, right? Now imagine if they got cut off. You can still function, right? We've seen that. People that are maimed, right? But it's a little harder. It's going to struggle. I've seen guys with no legs and they struggle. They need help sometimes. Well, maybe this church, this group of people, it's struggling a little because the body's not working together. The gifts aren't being used. See, most of us are maimed. And we can help Jerry and Jeremiah make this flourish and bring more people in. Because their job is to bring God's word to the congregation. But our job as sheep should bring more sheep. But if you're going to your friends like this maimed, hey, what's up, dude? How you doing? You go to church, ass, sometimes. You're not doing your part. You got to be complete. Yeah, dude, come. You got to come to church. It's awesome. Just come once. Check it out. Maybe God could use you. What? You play drums? Yeah, come on over. We got an old drummer. He needs to get replaced. We need a young guy. Come on over. You see, there is something you could do. But the body, if it's not complete, you're going to have problems. It's going to be struggles. There's going to be struggles. See, the pastors can't do it all. Jerry and Jeremiah can't carry this load. It's a heavy load for them. It's difficult. I know it is for them. I've pastored before, and it's not easy running a church. It's work. But their main job is to study to bring us God's word so we can hear what God wants us to be doing at that time. And right now, He wants you to start doing your gift.
He wants you to start being a do, not a don't. He wants to use you. What's the next slide, Jerry? The first ministries that are very utilizing, very important, very at the top of the line in a church is found right here in Ephesians 4:11. Look what it says. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And this is easy to remember because it comes in an illustration of the hand. See, an apostle is a guy that goes out starting churches, kind of like the apostles in the Bible. They went out all over the cities planting churches. The apostles go to our churches and they can minister, preach, teach. That could be the thumb. Why the thumb? Because the thumb can touch all fingers. That's the apostle right there, your big fat thumb. It's a good way to memorize it. Then he has prophets. What do prophets do? They tell of future events, things to come, and they point out sin. The pointer finger. There's a prophet. See? There's those gifts. They're biblical. What's the third one? An evangelist. An evangelist is loud, kind of like me. I know I'm an evangelist, man. I preach really loud and passionate, but I'm trying to hold back. I'm in a church service. But I am a passionate. I've prayed for people in front of vans and restrooms. I don't care where I'm at. Outside a liquor store. There's someone sitting here today that saw me right in front of vans. She went to go get an application. She comes out. I'm right there praying a guy into Christ. See, the gifts are there. The evangelist draws attention, so that's the tallest finger. That's why that's the evangelist. That's the only reason I'm going to use it for, okay? That's what it should be used for. It's an evangelist. It draws attention. It sticks out. Maybe some of you are an evangelist here. Those that like to, the attention, don't get it for you. Draw them for Christ. I'm always wearing shirts, hats. People ask me, I go to Lowe's a lot. I do maintenance. I'm the head maintenance at Christ Community. That's what I do. I'm the groundskeeper. And I wear a shirt. They'll always ask, what does that mean? And what does that mean? And boy, the door's wide open. And every time I leave them, I hand them a little card that has the hands that look like a heart. And it says, it's just a way to say God loves you. And I say, God loves you. Come to church. And they stay like this. All of them have stayed like this. Yeah. Like, why did I open my mouth? Yeah. But the other half, they stay like this because it's the Holy Spirit spoke to them. And they know they need to be in church. Some of them have told me, you know what, I haven't been to church in a year or two. God speaks, man. Use the gift. Be an evangelist. The pastor, the ring finger. This is the cool one. You know why the pastor's the ring finger? They're married to the church. They're here weekend after week after weekend, bringing you God's word, feeding you. They're married to the congregation. They want you to love God and know about God and live for Christ. That's what that finger stands for. There's the pastor. And the teacher, the last one, critical in the fivefold ministry of a church. The teacher's kind of like a pastor, but in a teacher, you sit it like in a holy ground setting. You sit and teach. This guy's so small, insignificant, but the small teacher, insignificant pinky finger, breaks into all the details of Scripture. You guys go deeper like you do on Tuesdays. This guy gets deeper and teaches you what a word could mean or why this was said and this context was put here to tie to this one. That's what the teacher does. See? Fivefold ministry. Those are the first five you need. Then there's others that tie to it. What's the next slide, Jerry? It doesn't end there. All these gifts are in this chapter 12. If you're on there, some of you have these gifts. Some of you like giving of yourself, giving things. Some of you are creative, craftsmanship. All those are biblical gifts that you have, and you're on that list. You are on that list, trust me. Oh, no one asked. I was hoping someone would ask, why is Helps blue? No one asked, Jerry. Okay, I'll tell you anyway. Why did I put Helps in a different color? You know why? Because I said it at the beginning, and I just said it a while ago. Some of you are sitting here thinking, I can't, there's nothing I can do. Hello? Just help. Can I get that for you? Can I carry that? Can I bring this? Can I do that? Help. That's an easy one. Anyone can help. Little kids help. I see them carrying stuff. When we're at Remnant on Thursdays, man, can I carry this? They want to help, man. I want to have a little kid's heart. I always want to have a little kid's heart. You know what's the flip side of having a little kid's heart? Because you can get your two children that fight all the time. A minute later, they're friends and playing again. A minute later. When my daughters were little, they'd fight. You know what we did? Me and my wife, we'd make them stand back to back. And they were mad. They were killing each other a second ago. So I'd make them stand there. And I'd watch them. They'd stand back to back, not even 3 seconds.
stop it. They start laughing like that.
Unity. Unity. See, you're a body. You're a body. Unity. That's where it's at. God loves you and he wants to use you and he wants you to flourish that gift. You need to help the pastors. You need to help in any ministry you can find here. And they're all there, look. They're all there. Find yourself on that list. There's something you can do. Why do we have so many excuses for God? Why? I know I can have them sometimes. I can be very complacent. But in the end, I end up doing it because Jesus died for me. He died for me. Some of us probably work too much. And you know what I think is taking over the world in the Christian lifestyle? I believe. This is my personal thought. Entertainment. Because a lot of people tell me, Frank, I don't have time. I do this, I do that. I hold two jobs. I help at two churches, and I boast in Christ. And I'm tired sometimes. But once I'm here, oh, man, I get filled. I see Jerry, I see Jeremiah, I see you guys, I get filled. Just seeing you. You don't get that when you see a Christian friend, you're just having kind of a rough day, and you see them show up, you're like, oh, they're so-and-so, I feel better. There's unity in the Spirit. If you're not feeling that, then you start flourishing that gift. It's in there. Trust me, it's in there. Because we come up with some good excuses. What's the next slide, Jerry? The activities of the church were created for unity. There it is again. For the equipping, there it is, of the saints. Guess who the saints are? Hello? We're the saints. We're to be serving for the work of the ministry. There it is. Why should we be working as saints? For the ministry. And for the edifying of the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ in this church. Of course, Jesus is the head. But we're the body. Everyone has a function. You weren't just created to take up space. God didn't say, oh, I love you. There you are. You're going to do nothing. No. He created you for a reason. That's why I opened up with that video of the pirates that don't do anything. I wanted to change the words to, we are the Christians, we don't do anything. It's funny because it's true. It is true. We need to flourish that gift that's in us. You see, God has called us to serve at some level. We shouldn't have any kind of excuse for God. God has called you for this time right now in this church to do something for him, to serve him. Start pondering, start searching, start praying, start looking where you can serve. Flourish your gift that's in you. You're a tree planted by God in this planet for his service first. See, we need to seek God first. We need to worship God first. We need to pray to God first because he thought of us first when he created. It's been beautiful yesterday. Today, the days are beautiful outside, just for us. Through all our flaws, through all our not wanting to flourish that gift, God still gives us that. We don't deserve it. Imagine if you took the air that we breathe. Okay, I'll serve. He'll go to that length at times. He'll press you. God's hand is heavy. Did you know myself as a baby Christian, I fell to sin. 8 months into my walk, I left my house. The girls were little. I got proudful. I knew God's word. I got ahead of God. This is God. I got this, Lord. I am a pastor. I'm a preacher. I got proudful. He put his hand on me, and I fell to sin. Convicted for 4 months. And I ended up walking back home, knocked on my door with my key right here on my side ring. My wife opens the door, big smile on her face, like if I never left. The minute I stepped into my house that I left, Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 came to my mind. It just popped in. I've never forgot that verse where it says, God will break, but he'll sow it. He'll tear it and mend it. He's been working on me for 11 years now. You'll never get there, but you need to keep serving. We'll get there one day, but you need to be serving Christ, the church, the body. and then for others in your work environment, at school, your friends, your neighbors, your family members. It doesn't stop. It goes on and on. See, I fell away too. And when I came back to church, guess what? For 3 months, the worship team would start and everybody, oh, lift up your hands, they're worshiping. I'd be like this crying. I could not even lift up my hands. Honestly, people, I tried. But I was in sin. I was in sin. I would just sit there and cry. One morning, I remember I fell on my knees crying. And they're worshiping. Everyone's just worshiping. Kind of like what you guys were doing earlier. And at the end of that service, one of the pastors comes up and hugs me. Man, Frank, I love the way you worship. You're on your knees. You're crying to God. Wow. And I looked at him still crying. I said, Pastor, I'm in sin. And God's hand is heavy. He worked on me, man, and he still does. Did you know God's like a sculptor? Pretend this is a big boulder. Every day you wake up, he just takes one swing at you. Every day, he's forming you. The artist already sees what he's forming, so does God. He already knows what he's predestined you to do, but you're not producing. So God will just not swing. He'll just watch you. He wants you to flourish the gift that's in you. Next slide, Jerry. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give us life as a ransom for many. The very first half of that scripture is a perfect example of what Christ wants us to be. The King of Glory in His majesty took it all off, came to become a man to serve us. And it didn't stop there. He came to die for us, for our sins. For our sins. And if you don't want to serve and you want to be lazy, it's a dangerous spot to be. Can we go to the next one, Jerry? Look at what it says here. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not seed. He wants you to serve. But if you're not putting it out, this guy had a bad ending. Did I put verse 30 in there, Jerry? Look what his outcome was. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not a good place to be. See, this was a servant of God. He gave him a talent, a chore, a gift to go do. He didn't. He buried it in the ground. So when God came back, he says, well, here it is. Oh, hold on. It's a little dirty. Here you go. Never used it. See, you're all gifted. At some level capacity, you're gifted already. You have no excuse. You have no excuses not to serve. You need to serve your body wherever you serve, wherever you come to church. And if this is your church, you should be involved. You guys should be flooding Jerry and Jeremiah with calls and visiting him, even after service. Hey, can we do this? How can we help? Or what is there I can do? Pastor, tell me. Well, they'll tell you. They'll let you know. We need to be serving. See, he thought of us first when he died on the cross, too. Remember the whippings, the rejection Jesus went through? He bled to death. Why? Because he loves you. And not only that, he resurrected and gave us the Holy Spirit. There's a gift in you. I'm going to pound that word gift in you. You got to get it. You all have charisma. God can use you. He really can use you. Next slide, Jerry. Look what it says here. And if... go back to that one. See, when the 10% are only carrying the load, this is what happens. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. See, that's what I said earlier. If you guys start going out there and start doing your part as the body of Christ, this church is going to flourish. It's going to be jam-packed. We'll be at Southwest by next year. God can do that. If he parted the Red Sea, if he created everything I can see, I can believe for Southwest for next year. But it's going to take the body. Because if we don't, that's that first half. There's some servants here, leaders, they're suffering a little bit. They won't tell you because they love Christ. They just want to serve. They would like to see the church flourish. They would like to see the body serving, ministries growing. But there it is. It's a little tough. It was a little tough to write all this stuff. But there's a falling away daily. The numbers are getting bigger every day. There's a big church I know of that almost 80%, they just show up and leave.
There's small churches I know of that only five help and everyone else doesn't serve. You have a gift. God wants to use you. What has it been influencing you lately? What entertainment has drawn you away to say, you know what, I'm too busy. I can't take this out of my agenda. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I have. I actually like to watch TV and sports, a lot of stuff. It's all I do now. I study. I get in God's Word. Because I have two jobs and I serve at two places. I really don't have time. But the little bit I have left, I spend it in God's Word and sharing. All the time, opening my mouth for Christ. Because that's what you were created for, and myself. Open your mouth for Jesus. Flourish your gift. And the more you start doing that, you're going to start seeing your calling. Your serving area. Because if you're wondering, where can I serve? You haven't really witnessed for Christ. I know I'm an evangelist, no doubt. Second, a drumming pastor like Jerry has put that on me. It's cool, I like it. I love music. Music was first, but now preaching has come first for me. I'm not a pastor. I'm not licensed. I'm just a brother in Christ that loves sharing Jesus. I've never been to school, college. I only took 3 years of AA Bible school because I wanted to learn. I want to grow. I want to share. I want to be able to answer people. I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to help wherever I can. Jeremy asked me, Frank, are you going to help? Sure. I didn't even look at my schedule, my agenda. I said, sure. I should have looked. And I just landed a second job because I'm struggling a little financially, but I'm rich in Christ. I'm rich in Christ. My wife and my daughters are blessed too. I am blessed with them. I am blessed with my family. And I am blessed with this family. You guys are a great church. Flourish your gift. As the worship team comes up, I'll close with this last scripture. I think there's the last scripture on there, Jerry. I'll leave you with this. Jesus, these are Jesus' words. That should have been red. It looks like a burgundy. Guys go colorblind at older age. But what do you think? Jesus is questioning you, okay? Look at this. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, go work today in my vineyard, he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered to him and said, sir, I'll go. But he did not go. And that question is to you at the last line. Which of the two did the will of the Father? Which of the two? You guys know the answer. Are you doing the Father's will or your own will? Are you self-serving or are you serving God? We live in a self-serving world now. There's so much out there to pull us away from wanting even to come to church. I didn't want to get up today either. But I always set my clock a day before to be ready. I don't want to miss it. Because what if Christ came today? Imagine those that didn't show up. Oh, Jesus, you're here. I'm sleeping. So there it is. I'll leave you with that thought. What are you serving? What are you serving most? Do you want to serve? Are you a lazy servant? Or do you want to remember how Christ died for you and you want to give it all to Him? Don't do it to impress people. Don't do it to impress your pastors. Do it because you love Christ and because you love what you want to do for the Lord. Amen? God bless you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.